Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Eric Hansen.
Along with my guest, Al Hayden, Al's sporting goods show and store, sporting goods show for many years, and of course the store for, you say 30 plus,
34 right? years down there, yeah.
On Henderson and South Street?
Monmouth Boulevard.
Monmouth Boulevard, yep. Yes. Sorry about that, Al. Now, Bass Pro Shops, you'll be at a little bit later. You might see Al in there. Some Galesburg folk walk in there and go, Al, are you?
Quite often, and I enjoy that too.
Yeah.
I'm always, they've got me at the gun counter down there, so that's what I do. But even if folks are coming down just to buy some fishing gear, they don't shoot guns or nothing else, but they come over to the counter and say hi, and I like that.
You absolutely.
Because that was one of the things I really liked about the store was the real personal contact you had with your customers right there. And again, I always loved it because they would come in with their son, daughters, wives, first fish, first deer, first whatever, and show it off. So I'd like to get pictures of it, you know, and then I would talk about it on the show, like, you know. I just loved that part of it right there, that close personal contact.
Well, if you're just in it for the buck and not the personal touch, then you wouldn't have been around for 34 years. But you of course, you wanted to have a successful business, but you also love that personal the people is what made it.
Well, yeah, it really is. And that's and along with that, like I said earlier, when they come into a sporting goods store, they're thinking of having fun.
Yeah.
So they're a whole different frame of mind than when they have a problem, right? So, yeah.
You see so many of the folks that you saw over those years at the Fishing Derby. If you catch a nice day like we should get tomorrow, Al, at Lincoln Park, it all kicks off at noon with registration, 1 to 3, you're fishing, you're casting. There's a casting teaching you how to cast, not contest.
It's not really. We'll kind of cover that a little bit, but it's an event.
It's an event.
And if you just participate, you get your name added to a can. And you might win a bicycle.
Yeah, and if you don't cast well, there's someone who knows how to cast well standing in there saying, maybe try this. Maybe do your wrist this way.
Yeah.
Al will be out there. And on, like I said, on a nice day, you're going to see, Al, hundreds that you've seen over the years. I mean, do people stop you every 5 seconds? How do you get anything done at a fishing derby?
Well, you've been out there before, and you've been broadcasting and stuff, and I try to stay up by the PA system, the GILAAG booth there as much as possible so people can ask me questions and stuff like that.
Absolutely. We're getting some heavy weather out here right now. We getting too much rain this season?
Well, it's been quite a bit that we've had right there, and this is enough for now. It's settled the dust, and I don't know what we've had in the last day or two here right now, but probably about an inch or so, inch and a half. I know my rain gauge the other day, we had better than a half inch, and we're getting plenty of rain out there. I had some last night and again today.
Yeah.
So, yeah, farmers need to get the fields finish up their crops, and a lot of folks listening out there need to finish up their garden maybe or something like that, or maybe get out there to pull some weeds out of it.
Do you say you just you caught some moments the other day and put in cucumber seeds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd run out of I thought I had some cucumber seed and I didn't, so when I was in town packing bags on Thursday night, we ran by the one of the stores and picked up some cucumber seed, and I knew that rain was coming in. I got up 5 o'clock on Friday morning, looked at that radar, and here it was coming, so I rushed outside and put those cucumber seeds in, and just as I was finishing up, it started raining.
Here it comes. Nice timing. The Fishing Derby is, of course, is coming up tomorrow at the at Lincoln Park, and it's been there all 30 years. This is the 30th year for it. Kids can win bikes.
Well, that's just by participating in the other. We got, with like I said, Sue Dutel is the chairperson of the Fishing Derby Committee.
You said the guys that run the prize table have been there years.
Well, not necessarily prize tables. I mean, the core group of people on the committee has been there for many years. And with that, putting the thing together, it kind of goes like clockwork. But a lot of it, is with the cooperation we have from the city. That's one of the biggest things. I don't know hardly any, and through the years I've talked to other towns who come in and talk to me about this, and they can't believe the cooperation we've had with the city
and the parks department.
And one of the big things about this too is every town handles their derby in a little bit different way. A lot of we'll go with, you know, whoever catches the biggest bluegill, the biggest catfish, the biggest bass. We don't do anything like that. No, all you do here, the organizer of it was, like I said, Ruth Pesey originally, for the Susquehanna Centennial of Galesburg, and her husband Frank Pesey. But anyhow, we wanted to keep it very simple. Not how many fish, not size of it. Catch a fish, any size fish. It doesn't matter what species of fish. You take the ticket that's on the rules sheet, or this, and it's got a list of everybody who donated, sponsors and stuff like that for the Derby. Because a lot of the prizes were purchased with dollars donated by area businesses, or the prizes were donated by area businesses. And there's a ticket stapled to it. And so when the Derby begins at 1 o'clock, you take that. As soon as you catch a fish, take the fish and that ticket to one of six different prize tables that may be scattered around there. And all the tables have similar prizes. We try to keep everything almost exactly the same because we get things in multiples of six.
Yeah.
That way the kid has to surrender their fish, which goes in a bucket, which in turn goes back into the lake.
Yeah.
But then they get to select any prize that they want off that prize table. And we try to encourage parents, let your son or daughter pick out the prize they want, not just because you know that fishing pole is worth more than what that Barbie doll is or whatever kind of doll there is right out there. Because that's the thing, the prizes range from dolls and balls and rods, fishing equipment, lots of rods and reels, tackle boxes, so all kinds of prizes.
Am I right in assuming, though, handing out a prize for the fishing derby isn't your passion? It's to see, because I how your voice went up, just let the kids catch a fish.
Yeah.
Seeing that look, you've probably seen that a million times walking around that Lincoln Park Lagoon there over the years.
You've seen a lot of times these little kids, the first time they ever caught a fish. Some kids, their parents don't fish, and so their parents don't know anything about fishing.
They're learning.
We always have loaner poles out there for kids that don't have or can't afford a pole.
Yeah.
We have loaner poles that we'd loan out for the day, and then with that, if you need help as a parent on how do you rig this thing up, how do you put the, we'll have somebody give you help. A lot of times the parents themselves are more than willing to help the parent that's right next to them, because it's not the type of stuff you see on TV like you and I are talking about where there's always constant conflict going. This is a good day. Parents,
yeah.
Parents want to help other parents help their kids to have a good day out there.
Yes.
So.
And the weather should be beautiful for it. 12 o'clock registration, 1 to 3, you're fishing with the kids, your grandkids. And, of course, the event was probably always said, hey, this is going to be a free event for everybody. And the parking goes well. There's plenty of room at Lincoln Park. And just walk down, and you'll see all the folks there. And it could be a great Sunday.
Two other things going on at that time right there, too, is just up the hill from about where they're going to have the casting event. Rob Hilsbeck, the area fisheries biologist that we have right now for Knox County in West Central Illinois, he'll be there for Kenny's dedication, of course, but he's there every year, just like Ken was, with a fish display up there in those big horse tanks and that. So fish from area waters, big catfish, and usually some snapping turtles and other turtles in there, and just kind of stuff that you can see up close. And then another thing would be, of course, Hy-Vee Foods will be out there with the concessions. They've done that. They've done this for years, and with that, hot dog, soft drink, bag of chips, only 50 cents a piece.
Mm.
So that's, how much do you pay for a hot dog at a Chicago Cubs game?
too much. I think it was $9, maybe $9. Yeah.
How much? Probably get the same hot dog right here for 50 cents. Okay?
It'll taste so much better after you've caught your
first
fish.
Especially because it's so much cheaper.
Yeah. Prizes, hot dog. That's the only thing you're going to have to pay for at the fishing derby is some food if you would like it. It is tomorrow. Cops and Bobbers, we're hoping that happens for you and Mama today over there, 10 to 2 at Citizens Lake. Yes, Al.
One really important thing I want to remind folks is to bring your own bait out there, because we don't sell bait out there. We try to keep this as commercial free as possible with no sales of anything except for that hot dog and soft drink and a chip. Get out there tonight and pick some worms.
Yeah.
I was telling Eric before we went on the air on Friday night, I didn't get home from work because I had to close the store down there and didn't get home until about, it was a little bit after 10.
Sure.
And
what you told us on the air in the beginning here, the first time going out with mom and dad.
Yeah.
And you said getting the night crawlers, that's all a part of the experience.
Get the flashlight out and start looking in the grass. Look at those critters down in there, because now that the grass is good and wet and stuff like that, they should be up pretty good tonight after it gets dark. And so that's kind of a thing there too. Instead of going out there and what was it? with a gunny sack and saying, snipe, snipe, here, snipe, snipe, snipe. Why, you're actually looking for, okay, this is a worm down here in the ground. Now you have to catch it.
Yeah.
And you put it in your can or your bucket right there. So that way you got your bait for Sunday morning.
And your kid is pre-excited for going out.
Oh, it's yeah. It's an experience. And that's another one of those things about, I didn't even know those were in the ground like that.
Yeah, yeah. You told me about your first time fishing. First time going out, was it archery? Was it a shotgun? Going hunting? Tell me about that. Did you? How did that happen? When was the first time?
On hunting?
Yeah.
It was probably
early
as a 5 or 6 year old with a BB gun.
Yeah.
Okay, because every boy back in the '50s.
Yeah.
Had a BB gun.
Squirrel, rabbit?
Usually sparrows.
Okay.
Okay. Right. And from there then, probably the first game I ever hunted was rabbits and squirrels.
Yeah, yeah. And who showed you the proper use of all those things and where to stand and how you should?
Of course, for the longest time, dad.
Yeah.
A lot, even though dad was not really a hunter.
Sure.
And then with a firearm itself, it was still dad. And then after that, when I went to buy my first first hunting license when I was 13, we were living in Colorado at the time. And Colorado had recently stated that you had to take a hunter safety class. They were one of the first states to put hunter safety classes in there for people. And if you were born after 1946, you had to take a hunter safety. Well, I was born in 52, so at that point, I had to take this. And the only people that gave the class was NRA, National Rifle Association. And, so where did we meet? It was the junior high school cafeteria, and you took your rifle in there, and they, showed you all the proper forms and stuff like that.
And you were how old at this time?
I was 13.
13.
And, so at that point, you didn't shoot there, but they're just, they showed you all the different positions, proper safety gun handling and all that.
Right.
Then from there, you went out to a range outside of town, and that's where you got your marksmanship badges and stuff like that from the NRA to, for shooting.
Right. And this outdoor life just grew. You said I know you have a brother. How many siblings growing up?
Just one brother.
Just one brother. So if it was time for dinner and Al was not to be found, they knew where you were. You were out in the woods somewhere.
Well, that was more my wife that after I got married and stuff like that. She's an outdoor gal herself. She likes to
hunt good.
On fish and shoot right alongside of me.
How well would that have went, Al, if she wasn't that girl? That was probably an attribute you were looking for.
We wouldn't have been married, but I'll tell you something here, Eric. I love telling young guys this there, too. Sure. I says, you're young dating around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Myself. You date a girl, you'd take them to the movies and you'd take them maybe for dinner, but I said a lot of my dates would be I'd take them hunting or fishing.
Yeah, and you'd know.
And the first time I got this, that's cruel, or that's sick, or that's gross.
That was the litmus test, right?
That was the last date right there. Well,
yes.
There's lots of fish in the sea out there, so at that point right there, went.
Yes. Yeah.
When I started dating my wife, I mentioned the fact in their house right there that I had to get going because I was behind on my muskrat skinning.
Yeah.
Her mom says, "You got your rats out there in the truck?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Bring them on in the kitchen." I said, "What?"
Oh.
And she said, "Bring them in the kitchen." Shoot, I went out there and got that bucket of muskrats and brought them in there, and her mom had spread newspapers on the kitchen floor.
You knew you were right at home.
They helped me skin muskrats.
That is awesome.
I said, this is a gal for me.
As your girl.
Yes.
That's great. Al Hayden's with us on the first hour of Galesburg Live. Our friend John Taylor from Cambridge will talk music. He played outdoors and indoors, I think, last night. He holds concerts in his living room. How does his wife let him do that? We'll learn more about John Taylor coming up in just a little bit. 747, Galesburg Live on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.